We're going to read together. We're going to read the passage which we watched on the video, and there's a bit at the end we need to read because it wasn't on the video, and we're just going to touch on it in our message. So it'd be really great if you've got a Bible in front of you, if you want to follow. If you're not used to, familiar with the Bible, you'll see a page number on the screen there, 1049, which in faith I'm sure will take you to the right spot exactly. Luke chapter 15. And there we go. You normally get an idea of where God is leading in his word by the way that things are put together and pushed together and what the themes are. So at the start of chapter 15, we have the parable, the story of the lost sheep, then the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son. So there's a clue. This passage is probably about being lost. There's a hint. Sometimes it's so obvious we miss it, but it's good to remind ourselves. So from verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Three pictures this morning to take us through our message. So the passage is about being lost. And the story here has got three main characters in the reading, and we had really two of them on the video and three up here in the reading. So three characters, and they all represent somebody. Okay, and it's really important that we get to grips with that. So the son in the story here represents those who were at home with the father and who intentionally walked away and became lost themselves. The father in the story is God, our heavenly father. And the older person is an interesting one. I like to think of it really as this. It's the person who is kind of in and around things to do with God. But in their mind, they've reached this conclusion that being in a relationship with the father is about things you do and about just being good. It's good to be good, but it's about God owing them something, about duty, about these things, not about coming in faith and trust, and coming in humility and repentance. And so we're going to think about these three characters. And the first point about being lost is, have we got a, no, yeah, we have. And again, Sue. Excellent. This is the, for the avoidance of any doubt, this is the younger son. Okay. It didn't feature in the video. This is completely different pictures just to keep you on your toes. The younger son, as we saw, quite deliberately left the family home. He wasn't pushed out. Father didn't make it difficult for him. Wasn't a problem being at home. But he, in himself, woke up one day and went, do you know what? I don't want to be in this relationship, in this home, anymore. And he went. He set off. The Bible speaks of him as being lost. He intentionally became lost himself. He made himself lost. If you can do, well, you can do such a thing, can't you, I guess? I guess usually when we're lost because, well, we didn't mean to get lost, did we? We just, the sat-nav took us the wrong way. And it's all a bit painful. That's what we say anyway. Or we've just got things wrong, or this is a man thing to do. I know definitely where I'm going. And then as you're going there, you're thinking, I don't know if I know where I'm going here, but I'm definitely not going to confess it to my wife that I don't know where we are, so I'll just pretend that this is an amazing way of getting there. Sometimes we get lost because we just got it wrong. We didn't want to get lost. But sometimes people go, do you know, I'm just leaving and I don't know where I'm going to end up. This was the son's home. This is where he was cared for. This is where he was loved. And he went, I want to go. I want to leave. I want to be gone. And this is exactly what we all do in our relationship with God. He made us. He created us. Gave us life. Our hymns have spoken about God. And that's one of the reasons why I had some of the hymns. It speaks about God, the Creator, who made us. He made us to be in a family with him, to be a part of that family. And we've all gone, do you know what? I don't think I want that, thank you. I want to go my own way and do my own thing, live my own life, and I'm out of here. And the Bible in Romans tells us that we know enough about God. Whatever we might say, whatever we might pretend, we know enough about God from what we can see, from what's in our conscience, from what's in our heart. We know enough about God to know that actually that is what happened. We belong to him, but that's where we should be, that's home. But we don't want it, and that's really what sin is. Sin is saying to God, thanks ever so much, but I want to live my own life for myself and do my own thing. And when we're lost, it's not because God has pushed us out and gone, off you go, I don't want you here anymore. It's because we intentionally, deliberately have taken ourselves away. We've strayed from where home is, where we should be. Or put it another way, there is, and there's lots of people talk about this in lots of very complicated detail, but there is something inside us that is a place where, that is a place for God. And rather than fill that space with him and a relationship with him, we try and fill it with all sorts of things. They might be good things in themselves. They might be people, relationships, hobbies, money, all sorts of stuff. Some of it might be good. Some of it might be really, really bad. A bit like the young man on the story who went away and squandered all of his life thinking, I'm going to take what I've got and I'm just going to live my life in all this kind of wild living. Sometimes we fill our lives with good things, sometimes with bad things, but whatever, the space which is for God, we say, I'm going to fill it with lots of other stuff, people. And we attach ourselves to that. God gives us, if you like, God gives us our inheritance, the money we have, the skills we have, the energy we have, the health and strength we have. And rather than give those back to him and say, I want to serve and worship you, so I'm going to use all my inheritance to go and live the life I want to live and do my own thing. The son was lost, and we're lost. And that's how it is. That's why this world is in the condition it's in today, because people have gone, don't want to be at home with God, want to do my own thing. I want to replace God with somebody else, something else instead. And then, of course, this young man, we're told, he comes to his senses now. We won't do a bit of a Greek teaching here, because you'll be going, oh, really? But here's a really exciting Greek thing. The actual Greek says, the man came to himself. That's what it says literally. He went, what? Then in the story, he suddenly woke up and went, what have I done? And we have this phrase, he came to himself, came to his senses, went, what have I done? That's exactly what this young man did. And the turning point for his transformation, when he got things back on, was when he sat there with those pigs and went, this is just nuts. What am I doing? I need to go home and be sorry. Say sorry for what I have done. And you know, some people say to become a Christian is such a difficult thing. And you need these amazing spiritual insights and all sorts of wonder. And when I was a young man about 15, 16, I remember, I think I've told this story sometime, or a version of it sometimes before, but we used to play football on the recreation ground till you couldn't see the ball, okay? So it was too dark to see. And I remember lying on my back on the grass. It was July. I remember it was sort of school holidays, and we were playing football. And I decided I'd have a pact with God. And I said to him, if you do something to prove to me that you're there, I'll believe in you. I can't remember what it was. It probably involved a young lady. But anyway, and I think God went, nah, it's not really how it works. He wasn't going to show me something amazing. I didn't need some brilliant thing to work out in my mind. All it needed was for me to say, what am I doing? What am I doing in my life? I need to go home. That was all it took. Just that sense coming to our senses. Do you know that's just how. There's lots of profound things to talk about here, but actually in very simple terms, the journey to become a Christian starts at that point when we realize that we're lost, that we've made ourselves lost, and we just wake up one morning and go, what am I doing? This is mad. I am nuts. I need to go home to a Father who loves me. We were made by God, for God, for him to live in our hearts. So when it says he decided to come to his senses, or he came to himself, in a sense he was coming back to what God had always created, designed, planned, for us. So we come to our senses. There's another bit, of course, because he did say, and one of you got it absolutely spot on, he said, I have sinned against the Father in heaven, against my Father, and I'm really sorry. I'm prepared to do anything. I'm prepared to be a servant, whatever. Now, we call that repentance. It's just basically turning around saying, I know I've done wrong, and I want to live a life that pleases my Heavenly Father. That's about as complicated initially as the first steps get. We understand, and we turn, and we come back. So there's our son, our youngest son. He had it, he wasted it, he came to his senses, he came home. Second picture is of the father, and the father's heart. It was great because it was in the video, which was brilliant, and I just absolutely, it came to me really afresh this week that the father ran to the son. Now, I'm going to be ever so careful here, but so one of the commentators said, you don't often see older men running. And I thought, that's probably true. So if an older man is running, he's either very afraid or he's very happy, very excited about something. I'm not going to tell you what I think the definition of an older man is, but the point was well made. So for this, who knows in Jesus' story how old the father was, but just a great, for my mind, he's older and he's running. He's so excited about the son coming home that forget that my knees hurt and things hurt and everything aches and I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to run because my son has gone. I need to come home. And it was a great, it's a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic picture. Now, we won't have a vote, but I did think, is this story really more about the Son? Is Jesus' point more about the Son or more about the Father? You can think in your minds what you think the answer to that question is. We usually talk about it in terms of the Son, but I think actually we've missed a trick, because I think the main focus here is that Jesus is telling us not so much about the Son, but about the Father and the Father's heart for those who he has made. And there's a great picture, I think, Jesus paints. We struggle to understand sometimes, don't we, what God is like. What is God like? So how do we understand what God's like? This passage gives us a great picture of something of the heart of God and God's love for us. So we have that scene, don't we, where the on the video where the Father is very sad that his son is leaving. It's a picture of God. Doesn't want us to go, doesn't want us to leave. But he doesn't chain us, he doesn't tie us to himself. He says, if that's what you want to do, you can go. He doesn't make us worship, he doesn't make us have a relationship with him. He lets us go. So it's clear that the Father was heartbroken, that the loss was significant. It was clear from the joy and for the celebration and for the running that the joy and celebration and happiness in the Father's heart was significant when the Son comes back. Runs out to meet him. I demonstrate that, but it might end up in a very embarrassing collapse on the floor. It's a brilliant picture of the God of heaven, who we might think is really remote and distant from us, which he's not, looking out for us as we come home, running to us when we have it in our heart to return to him. The Father is looking for us and celebrates, rejoices when we come home. I don't know what sort of picture you have in your mind of God and what you think of when you think of that person, that word, that name, but Jesus gives us a picture of him, which I think is fantastic. God has revealed himself to us as a Father who loves and cares beyond all we can understand. So here's the rub then. The Son comes home. Father receives him. And this morning, I don't know everybody's relationship with the Father here. No idea. This morning, this passage, I think, calls us again to ask ourselves, are we lost? Do we want to come home? Do we want to return to the Father who made us, gave us the life that we have? Because if we do, here is a picture of the welcome that we will receive when we come to our senses, when we turn around, repent, when we come back to the Father with humility and understanding that we've lived this life of ourselves and we want to turn back and we want to be changed and we want him to transform us. That is the way that God works, and this morning he calls us again, if we're in that place, to come to our senses and to repent of our sin, and to come back to a loving Father. Would you do that? It is the most amazing thing that we can ever, ever do. If you're interested in talking further with that, then do talk to me afterwards. But it's as simple as that. And I encourage you to take that step. There is one final brief picture, which is the older son. He is less happy. You might have spotted from the reading, he was not impressed at all that the younger son had the party, the ring, the shoes, the whole piece, when he had absolutely nothing at all. This is quite a sad picture, really, because this kind of speaks of a person who's sort of been around. He's been around the Father, but he's never really entered into a relationship. He's never really enjoyed the Father's presence. He's seen it always a bit of a duty and things that you have to do. He's sort of missed out. And I don't know, maybe that's a picture of you here this morning as well. You know, you'd say, well, I like coming to worship, but I see God as someone who, you know, if I do this, he'll do that, and he owes me. There's a bit of a duty here, and it's all a bit cold and transactional. And we just missed just missed the father's heart and the passion and the life and the embrace. God the Father says, that's not how it works. Come to your senses. Repent and come in humility and trust and faith and receive this amazing offer of life. Would you do that? If that's where you are this morning, the Father stands ready to run to receive you.